Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. So first, I want to thank the organizers for giving me this opportunity to give a presentation about the science behind the ozone hole and global warming. It's great that we have the... it's great that we have two, the past speaker, okay, they can talk fantastic about the physics and phase, okay. So I apologize that I don't have the capability to present this in the delay this science to the phase, okay. So I will try to do a little bit scientific way. And so these are two issues. One is the about science behind the ozone hole, the other one about the global warming, okay. Probably you have seen this slide in many places, okay. This CO2 concentration keep going up and this temperature going up. So, yeah. So,
can you stand by that mic?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's on.
Okay. So, is that better?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, this is the mainstream theories, okay. And as you know, this has been proposed in IPCC. Okay, so the main conclusion in IPCC is that CO2 is the main major cause of the global warming. Okay, so you see this modeling shows that with the keep going up, the concentration of CO2, our temperature going up. Okay, so you see this quite often. Okay, and maybe you see in the movie or in TV you see this. Okay, but I will say this just exaggerated effect. Okay, and this consequence is they get a Nobel Prize in 2007. Okay. The other stream, you might also see this. In fact, I saw this in the TV in China, okay. People try to say, okay, this is the solar intensity and the designated temperature. So there's a nice match between the temperature and the solar activity. And therefore, they will conclude that this is the global surface temperature change just because of the solar activity, okay. But as a scientist, we have to be very careful, okay, if you go to the original literature. I mean, this is a good journal, okay, and this is a good publication. But if you go to the original paper and you dig into there and you read that, and you have found that actually that solar data is not from the observation data. Actually, that's also from the computer construct data, okay. The fact is that for total solar intensity, we don't have direct observation before 1976, okay. After 1976, we do have the data observation, okay. Before that, all is quite, you know, uncertain, a big uncertainty data, okay. And you might see that, actually, I received several times email, people sent to me this, okay. So they try to show you this, the product temperature, okay, and then you made this the linear curve there, you split up there, and you see this up and down, okay. And then they say, okay, this complete nature, so just cycling, you know, up and down, up and down. And therefore, okay, you are right now, and then you will come up again, and then, okay, you have this kind of things. But carefully, okay, you just plot from here. If you plot more observation data, okay, so essentially you will see something like that. If you plot the data we have from 1850 to now, okay, so approximately you will see that, okay. So in last slide, if you just split here, then you are able to explain this data earlier than that, okay. So those presentation, I will say, is very innovation. Okay, it's very innovative, but probably will not be consistent with the fact, with the observation we have. Okay, so now, okay, this is kind of introduction. So now I'm going to go to the topic about the ozone hole. Why I mentioned that, basically, I just tried to explain to you how did I get involved into this unintentionally. Okay, so we know the ozone layer is very important because this. It's a UV observer, so that can protect us from the solar UV intense radiation, okay? So that's important. In the textbook, the convention theories about the ozone hole, basically, you need three mechanisms if you want to explain why the ozone hole appears south pole, north pole. The first one is you propose that the UV photon induce dissociation of CFC, and usually this happens in up about 35 to 40 km from the ground. And this typically happens in the tropical stratosphere. Okay, stratosphere is between 10 to 50 km. And then there's a dissociation products. that dissociation products will react with other kinds of atmospheric molecule. Then that products will be sent to South Pole, North Pole by air circulation, and that can send to the lower polar stratosphere. Then in the winter, because the temperature is very low over South Pole, North Pole, especially in the lower stratosphere, it's about 15 km from the ground, there's ice particle would present in the winter polar stratosphere. Then they propose you can have some heterogeneous chemical reaction that can happen on the surface of the ice. So basically, you mix these three mechanisms and you try to explain that ozone hole. And as you know, that these three scientists, they get a Nobel Prize in 1995 in chemistry because of their contribution to this mechanism. So that seems it has been well established. But if we look at this, the World Meteorological Organization report, they have a scientific assessment on this ozone depletion every 4 years. If you take all of this report, okay, let's see, 94, because we have Montreal Protocol, so we already control that CFC, so actually in the surface measurement, the CFC level is peak at about 1994. Okay, so that time they predict that this ozone hole will keep enlarged in the next few years and then start to decline. Okay. So then 98, suddenly they see one of the largest ozone hole. And 2002 report, they say, okay, this ozone, the decrease of the ozone hole, this might happen in the next 50 years. So they put a very large range, you know, can happen 5 year, 10 year, 20, 30. They put a 50. Then to 2006, okay, they predict that it start to become shrink. So they suggest that there we have 5 to 10% between 20 to 2020. There's a 20% recover of the ozone hole. Then to the most recent one, 2010, actually that was published 2011. Now they conclude that actually there's no significant evidence to show the recovery of the ozone hole. So you can see all of this, actually there's a significant inconsistent conclusion between every 4 year report. If you look at observation, okay, you can see that basically 87 we have larger hole, 91 we have small, 98 we have bigger hole, 2002 we have very tiny, and 2008 we have bigger one, and 2013 again we have the small one. So basically, actually there's an 11-year cycle as data. I will show you more quantitative results. Okay, so this up and down. So now let me review all the possible mechanism for CFC reaction in the atmosphere. Okay. The first one, as I just mentioned, about the photo dissociation mechanism. The second one is electron reaction with CFC. In the gas phase, this reaction cross-section is huge. It's 10,000 times than the photo dissociation cross-section. However, this mechanism was thought not to be significant. The main reason is that the free electron density detected in the atmosphere is very low because most of free electron will be captured by atmospheric molecule, such as oxygen molecule, okay. So if you detect a free electron there, then it's very low. And the third mechanism is that if you have ice particle there, then we know that the electron can be trapped in the polar media, such as water or ammonia. And if there's a CFC, then they can have significant electron transfer from the electron trap in water ice to CFC and then make a dissociation. And in fact, this cross-section is huge, okay, it's 10 to minus 14 to 10 to minus 12. So this could be 1 million times or higher than the photo dissociation cross-section. So the third mechanism that basically was discovered by myself and my former supervisors, later I will mention. So from the laboratory measurement, we already demonstrated that electron transfer mechanism in many publications and many international groups. This basically done in ice surface, we detect the dissociation products. And then femtosecond later, they detect this reaction with this electron. And then in the liquid phase, we can have more direct observation, this transition state for this the electron transfer leading the dissociation of the CFC heterogeneous molecule. So this mechanism has been well established from the laboratory measurement. So with that measurement, okay, then we can find out what is the major source of electron in the stratosphere. Actually, it's very simple, cosmic ray. It's a charged particle. And in the atmosphere, you will produce the low energy electron by ionization. So then it's very easy to understand why the ozone hole appears South Pole, North Pole, because the cosmic ray is charged particle. And we know the Earth's magnetic field. So that particle just concentrating over the South Pole, North Pole. So then you will directly relate to this ozone hole in the South Pole, North Pole. And as next slide, I will show you actually there's even better time and spatial correlation between cosmic ray and ozone depletion. So this basically the mechanism we propose is that cosmic ray produce electron in the ice particle. So if you have a hydrogen molecule, then there will reaction, okay, you can generate radical, and that radical can make ozone depletion. So this can happen even in the winter without the sunlight. When you have the sunlight, of course, those reactions can continue, so they can have more, but even in the dark stratosphere, you should be able to see the reaction of CFC and also the ozone depletion. So we propose in several papers. So in last slide, I mentioned that magnetic field, so you can see the cosmic ray concentrate over South Pole, North Pole. And if you look at the electron production rate from the surface, from the ground, you will see that there's a peak at about 15 km from the ground. So precisely, the ozone hole is located there. So there's a nicely spatial correlation. And you can also trace the time sequence, okay? You can see that this is the before the winter, CFC concentration over South Pole is very high. Then you look at in the winter, during winter, actually this strong deplete. And I have to mention that he has no UV photon. So that CFC, the photo dissociation cannot occur during the winter. So this can only explain by the cosmic ray electron transport reaction mechanism. Actually, you can also see here very good evidence that. And you can also look at the ozone concentration decrease during the evolution of the winter polar stratosphere. So you can see, in fact, the ozone level start to decline from the very beginning of winter when there's no sunlight. Okay, and you might say, okay, what I told you is different from the book. Indeed, in the photochemistry, atmospherical chemistry book, they will tell you ozone hole only start in the earlier spring when there's sunlight. But if you check how they define the ozone hole, basically they will define when total ozone level below 222 DU, that is count at the ozone hole. So it's here. Actually, they're very smart, okay? So below 222, then you will see ozone hole here. But before that, before this, the mid or late August, actually, before that, the ozone already decreasing, already has happened, has taken place, okay? So this part, they definitely, this were not able to explain by the photochemistry, okay? So in fact, this is the ozone depletion star from the whole winter series, so we can see that, okay? So obviously, this would not be consistent with the standard series from the photochemistry. Okay, to make it more quantitative, actually, this slide shows that the green curve is from my theoretical prediction, okay? The symbols, that is from the observation data. And I divided this observation data into two groups. So you can see the solid circle, that is the ozone data observed before our series predict that. The solid data has been observed after we predict you will have this the oscillation, 11-year cycle oscillations. Okay, so you can see that okay, this ozone data actually nicely fitting with this the green curve from our series. We have very simple calculation. In our calculation, this ozone depletion only depends on CFC concentration and cosmic ray intensity. There's another data is the temperature at this polar stratosphere, at the ozone hole location, the temperature. So again, you can see that that's very nicely fitting. This, the temperature also can be nicely fitted with this green curve, okay? During that time, as about 2008, I tried to write a review article to summarize what I've done on the, what I had done on the ozone hole. So I tried to analyze all of that ozone hole data and the temperature in the ozone hole place. So I came out with this nicely agreement between observation and theoretical curve. Then I realized that actually 10 years before that, in the late 1990s, climate research already predicted that because the greenhouse effect of CO2, that was the greenhouse effect of CO2, the temperature change, were serious effect of ozone hole, the ozone depletion. Okay? So if that's the case, actually they make the modeling calculation, okay, and they shows that the how much ozone depletion will be enhanced, enlarged by this CO2 greenhouse effect. So if you look here in my series, I don't have any input from CO2. I only want to input the CFC and cosmic ray, and I can get it nicely. So this motivated me to look at the warmer surface temperature, okay? Because here, obviously, I didn't see any evidence from the CO2 greenhouse effect. So that is one evidence. So actually, from that time, I make a very brave prediction. I say, if this temperature just controlled by CFC, then in the future, we will see the temperature start to decline. So as I mentioned, that is in 2008. That time, no anyone mentioned about temperature will start growing. Okay, that was in 2008, a very earlier time. And in earlier 2009, I tried to submit a paper to Science Nature, and all was rejected. Fortunately, finally, I published in the Physics Report. It's not bad journal, okay? This was published on 2009. So we predict that this temperature will going down with the in the coming decades, the temperature going down. And in the same year, actually, there's a news article published in Science. This article was written by Richard Kerr. It's a scientific report in Science magazine. Okay, so he interviewed several climate researchers, and all of that okay, say, well, you know, this is just temporary. Okay, they say, okay, no sort of natural variability, you know, could hold off greenhouse warming much longer. Also say rapid warming will resume in the next few years. So that time, this is truly documented in this paper published in Science. All of that predict the temperature going up, okay? But that's very different. I predict the temperature keep going down, not going up. So with that observation, then I try to answer a few questions, okay? First one, everyone know that the CO2 is greenhouse gas, okay? From chemistry, from physics, we know this very well. And we also know CO2 concentration is very high. So why didn't we see this CO2 greenhouse effect? Okay. From physics or the chemistry, you might have speculated. Likely answer is that the greenhouse effect CO2 has been saturated. So if that's the case, then can we find any evidence from the observation to show that the greenhouse effect of CO2 has been saturated? If that's the case, then because we found that there's very good correlation between CFC and global surface temperature. We know the CFC concentration, and we also know the greenhouse effect of CFC. So can we calculate how much temperature change could be induced caused by the CFC? And we have to consider nature effect. How much nature effect can play a role for this temperature change from 1950s or the 1970s? We have the data. So that's in the paper I tried to answer from in the 2010. So this is the observation data. You can show that it's solid data, less temperature, global surface temperature. And here's the purple one, that is the solar intensity, total solar intensity. As earlier I mentioned that from 1976, we have direct observation. Before that, we didn't have observation, but there's a computer construct data. All you can get indirectly by other solar activities, such as the sunspot number, okay? And then you try to fitted with ice core data, whatever, you know. So I have to say that before 1976, this data had big uncertainty, usually agree in the research community. But they do have some publications shows that the solar intensity changes this way with this purple, okay. So if you take this solar effect out from this observation data, then you will get the curve is the dashed line. So basically, you will see that from 1850, to 1970, approximately that temperature on the global roughly is constant. Okay, so from 1850 to 1970, the temperature essentially are constant after you remove the solar effect. Another point is very important. People will say, well, recently the total solar intensity started to decline, so maybe the temperature currently in the past decade or the past 15 years, 16 years, the temperature not going up, would that be because of the solar effect? Well, as I mentioned that, from 1976, we do have reliable measurement observation. So if you look at the data, okay, this solar intensity, and you can see that from 1976 to now, this actually is quite a constant. It's slightly declined. So this can tell us two answers. Number one is that the significant temperature increase in the later last century from 1970 to about 2000, that 0.6 degree increase, that could not be because of the solar effect. Number two, in the past 16 years, the temperature not going up or a slight decline can not be attributed solar effect either, because this change is so small. If you want to find a relationship between temperature and solar intensity, you can base on 1976 and 2000. And then you can apply that relationship, identical relationship, to explain, to find out the how much temperature changed in the past 16 years from the solar effect. And you will come out since 1970, actually the solar effect played very minor role for this global surface temperature change since the late last century, right? From this observation data, okay? Because we do have reliable measurement since 1976. Okay, now let's come to that why in the community believe CO2 so important. If you go to literature, you are easy to find this curve. Basically, this is the black body radiation measured by satellite, and they were presented this way. And usually they also give you this, the theoretically curve just from the pure Planck formula, okay, for black body radiation. And they're easy to show you, okay, this peak radiation from the Earth's surface just rely on about 15 micrometer, and that's CO2 band. So they tell you the Earth's thermal radiation, okay, peaked at this CO2 concentration. And I will say this is misleading. Although there's some trick here. Let's review what is the Planck formula. From physics, we know that Planck formula actually that was given by this radiation power in this wavelength interval or frequency interval. You given by this, okay, this b lambda t d lambda, all of b nu t d nu, okay. So that is the radiation power in this wavelength interval, all in that frequency interval. However, this b lambda t all of b nu t, that is power density per wavelength, all of power density per frequency, okay. That is not intensity. If you want to compare the radiation spectrum with absorption spectrum, you have to compare radiation intensity. Okay, so if you take this Planck the black body formula, okay, you will find that actually you can plot two curves. One is plot this density as function of wave function, okay, wavelength, or you plot this the power density as function as frequency, and you will see the two peak. Okay, in terms of frequency, you get that peak, yes, 15 micrometer. If you plot this, the power density as function as wavelength, then you will peak about 10 micron. Okay, but none of that makes sense. As I mentioned, that density is not density per frequency. In fact, if you want to compare the absorption spectrum with radiation, you have to convert into density. So basically, you will make this this density make the integral, okay? Make this integral, and then you can get this radiation density, okay? So you will find out both they should be the same. But don't forget that this d nu is equal to c divided by lambda squared d lambda, okay? D nu is not equal to d lambda, okay? Then you will get actually the curve is here. This peak is approximately is 10 micrometer. It's not at CO2 here. CO2 is 15 micrometer. The curve I show you, this is from the observation. So you will see that here is CO2. And you might say, well, you know, here CO2 is not saturated. There's still some absorption, okay? Some transmission is not zero. In fact, this is from the re-emission of CO2. If CO2 is strongly observable, in fact, this part is completely opaque. So all observation is observable. But CO2 can re-emit the infrared radiation, okay? So this part actually can be distinguished, can be find out this is from the re-emission of CO2, because you can see during the cloud or the storm, you will see the same peak. So actually there's no controversy in the climate research community that the main band of the CO2 has been saturated. The controversy, the debate is on that if there's a spectral wind in these two winds, they're still contributing to the greenhouse effect of CO2 or not. Okay, that is controversy. For this central band, there's no controversy. It's well known, this has been separated. And in IPCC, all the same theories, they believe this, the wind, in the spectral edge, the wind, they're still contributing to greenhouse effect. Here, okay, 8 to 12 micrometer, this so-called atmospheric window. And you can see that here, essentially, it's transparent. Only you have the ozone peak here, and then it's CFC. Okay, so any molecule here in this spectral window, okay, then that's strong greenhouse effect. In fact, this part also very, very well known. Okay, what I presented is indeed shows that this thermal radiation from the Earth actually peak here corresponds to the CFC absorption band rather than CO2 absorption band. And there are also satellite measurement can shows that actually that CO2 absorption band has been saturated. I don't have time to present that. If I analysis that the temperature data and CO2 concentration before 1970, essentially you can get that correlation efficiency approximately is zero between temperature and CO2 before 1970s. After 1970, we have significant CFC concentration in the atmosphere. And if you analyze the temperature and correlation with CFC, you will get that correlation efficiency as high as 0.97, almost one. Perfect correlation, okay. And if you want to consider CO2, you were not able to explain this, the temperature decline since 1998, literature, I say 2002. Actually, you can find the physics here, okay. I will say if you do more carefully analysis from physics, you will conclude that in no way could CO2 make this temperature increase. Let's make this more careful analysis. CO2 radial force keep going up since the industry revolution, okay? So keep going up. And you can make a very simple calculation based on the Stern series, IPCC formula. You will find that from 1850 to 1970, you get this radial force, 0.72 watt per meter. From 1970 to 2002, you get the same, 0.972. Let me remind you, earlier I mentioned that in the research community, all agree that the central band of CO2 has been saturated. What this debate is that the in the spectral wind is not saturated. If that's the case, then less saturation degree should get more and more with increasing of CO2 concentration. Then you should see that because if you just based on this calculation, you get the same radial force. But because if you consider saturation effect, you should predict that between 1850 and 1970, the surface temperature should increase more than surface temperature rise since 1970 to 2002. Okay, the observation shows that before 1970, essentially temperature is zero after you remove solar effect. If you don't remove solar effect, original data, only 0.2 degree increase. From 1970 to 2002, you have 0.6 degree increase. So if you check this physics carefully, you will rule out. CO2 cannot be the reason for the global warming. If you check this physics carefully, make more carefully analysis, you will make that conclusion. Okay. I don't have time. You might say, okay, in my last slide, I make this calculation too simple. In fact, this equation has been used in IPCC report from 2001, 2007, and 2013, most recently one. And if you check that, okay, they conclude that essentially the uncertainty is about 10%. I'm happy if my calculation is 10% accurate. That's fine for me. But in fact, if you go to the literature, they say this simple equation, the radial force calculated by this simple equation, agree with the complicated climate model, GCM model, the agreement is within 5%. That's the earlier model in 2001. Actually, the most complicated, the atmosphere, ozone, coupling atmosphere and ocean, GCM, okay, actually they conclude, they get the same number. So it's 100% the same, okay? So there's no point to argue that radial force in when you calculate this or GCM, essentially they are the same. But even IPCC 2013, they say uncertainty is 10%. You use that, the simple equation, or you use GCM, that difference, the uncertainty for that radial force, only 10%. Then you just find out this, the so-called requirement sensitivity. You can convert that. I will finish in 1 minute. Yeah. So if you convert the radial force into surface, okay, and the only thing you need to know is that Kramer sensitivity. Actually, you can derive that from the Planck body radiation. Okay, you will find out that number is 1.85. Okay, so with this simple equation, okay, this can find from the completed series from physics. Okay, 1.85, and I can make a calculation. You, as last slide, radial force. Then basically, this the temperature I already come out, the green curve. The blue one is to including more HFC. The green one is the after you find out the greenhouse effect, the temperature change by the Montreal Protocol control the gas, the CFC and HCFC. So you can see that this almost perfect agree with the observation we have now. So I'm pretty confident to predict the temperature we're going down. Okay, we'll go this way. Okay. You might say, okay, well, how about you, if you still want to keep the CO2, all of these other kinds of gas, okay, then you will come out that. Okay. So my conclusion is that warmer surface temperature will increase as long as you still believe the greenhouse effect of CO2 is not saturated. Okay. Because the concentration of CFC is about 1 million times than CFC, so no way. Unless the greenhouse of CO2 has been saturated, otherwise you will not that. Okay, I don't have time to show you. Yesterday, Dong shows this, actually, So, I put the conclusion. So, mainly, I believe that the global surface temperature increase in the later, since later last century, mainly is because of CFC. And if I check the physics carefully, there's no evidence, scientific evidence, for the CO2 make that temperature rising. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Okay. You want to see the temperature, or you want to see ozone?
I didn't follow your mechanism by which the CFCs could be affecting the temperature.
Because the our atmospheric window is 8 to 12 centimeters. And actually, so this is the peak of radiation, intensity peak. And CFC, very strong absorption band, is 8 to 12 micrometer. So it's very strong absorption
band.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why is it going to be slowly increasing as well?
Because the CFC is declining. So that means that the ozone concentration decoupled. So in that equation, there's two variables. One is the cosmic ray intensity. The other one is CFC. So because the cosmic ray is oscillator, and the CFC concentration is there. So you combine that, and you get that curve. Right. Thank you. Please.
CFCs couldn't have been a part of that. So are you saying that natural cycles aren't important, or they just haven't been important in the last couple of decades?
You mean, okay, as I mentioned that before 1976, we don't have the solar intensity directly measurement. But after 1976, we do have that. So in fact, you can make carefully analysis from 1976 to now. So basically, if you analyze that, you will find that this total solar intensity essentially is constant, all are just slightly decline. So how you will explain that temperature increase? No way. So basically, I will conclude that since 1970, solar effect play very minor role.
That's right. Maybe in the past it did have more effect. You just can't measure it.
No, we have the measurement, and it shows essentially constant. We have less solar intensity since 1976. We have the measurement. Before that, you can say, okay, well, computer model is not reliable. However, after 1976, we do have that number. And actually, IPCC get to the same conclusion as my conclusion for this point.
But do they accept that the CFC really is the more contributing factor than CO2?
No, because they still believe CO2 greenhouse effect is not saturated. So they still use the equation to calculate the CO2. And if you use this equation to calculate CO2, of course, you get the greenhouse effect of CO2 dominated.
Yeah.
Because the CO2 concentration is 1 million times higher than CFC. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
So that's why my conclusion that unless the greenhouse effect of CO2 has been saturated, otherwise temperature is just going up. Okay.
So it's because you're saying it's not saturated. That's why.
No,
saturated.
I believe it's saturated.
It is saturated.
Right. But IPCC don't believe it's saturated. So if you don't believe saturated, then there's no way temperature must go up because your concentration going up.
I wasn't aware of that. Right. There is a saturation level of the CO2.
The major band that they agree is saturated. What they discuss is now they say, okay, we're in the wind, you know, in the edge, okay, it's not saturated. So that's why they apply this logarithm dependence on the concentration of CFC. Okay. You know, they might say, well, you know, we use GCM. In fact, this equation can give you almost the identical number to the GCM number.
Okay.
Same.
I missed the connection between the CO2 and the fluorocarbons.
Yeah. Basically, both CO2 and CFC have very large absorption in the infrared.
Right. Okay.
And CO2, actually, the band is 15 micrometer. CFC is 8 to 12.
Yes. Okay.
Right? And actually, our black body radiation intensity peak, as I just showed up, is here.
Yeah.
So you see this CFC. So this is our Earth radiation. Yeah. So actually, we are in the peak position. And that's why CFC is so efficient, so effective.
Yeah.
Much effective than CO2. This is now my discovery. You can easily find in the literature. They already know that the greenhouse effect of per CFC molecule is about 10,000 times to 1 million times that greenhouse effect of CO2 per molecule. That's not from my contribution. What my contribution is that I chose this indeed in the peak position. And I also found that the greenhouse effect of CO2 has been saturated. So there's not much trick there. Actually, my calculation is very simple.
CFC contribution has decreased, though. I mean,
yeah, that's right.
No more of that.
Right,
so.
Right. Because of the Montreal Protocol. So we know the CFC concentration is declining. And that's why you will have this temperature.
Oh, now it's going this way.
Right, right.
Up
right,
to that point.
Right, right.
Yeah. How does IPCC look at this result?
Just ignore, you know, they just don't cite my paper.
That's interesting.
Yeah,
they don't even come to you with
right, no.
Some
they just ignore. They didn't, in IPCC, I already published there, you know, since 2009.
Yeah.
They just ignore my paper. Yeah, but I don't mind, you know, I have the chance to publish my book. Yeah.